Yeah, good morning, everyone. Awesome. As Colton mentioned, my name is Temba. By God's grace, one of the deacons in the family. It's really such a privilege to serve alongside a team, actually led by Colton, a couple of deacons led by Colton. But what's really amazing is just like seeing team in everything that's being done. So one of the things that he recently shared, which is like, so uplifting for me, is that like fighting for intimacy. There's a word that he shared on the deacons group about like us fighting for intimacy. And I really trust that even in this morning, I'm still trying to find a fit where to stand and not where. Okay, great. As we look upon the Lord, we need to contest for intimacy with him. This morning, felt the Lord just laying this word in my heart about, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? It really is such a topic that over the years, it can be abused. There's so much uncertainty when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I really want to come and settle our hearts. Let's look to what the scripture is saying about the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that the Lord reminded me, normally he doesn't speak to me in stories or pictures. So like when he laid a story in my heart, I was like, okay, I'm super convinced that Lord, you are speaking. So sometime back, many moons ago, I think it was just before 2010, we had the privilege to drive with my uncle, dropping off my aunt. She needed to get to like a bus station traveling to Johannesburg. So that December time, there wasn't like enough petrol was scarce. I don't know if many of you will recall this. Maybe people born after 2000 don't know, like sometimes petrol is a scarce thing. but there was a time where like it was hard to find petrol. So we're like, okay, so he came in early in the morning, wants to take my aunt, and then we need to catch a bus. So now we went to the first petrol station and there wasn't fuel. I was like, okay, we're gonna trust that we're gonna keep going to the next station because we can't go back now. When we went to the next station, there was also no fuel. We're like, oh boy, we are not gonna make it. And we had to go through a mountain, not like Neville Hill, you know? Like, I know like Bloemfontein people, we might think like a mountain, we picture Neville Hill, but this was like a proper mountain. Not Cape Town mountains, but like still, it was like a big mountain in Limpopo that you have to go through. So then, like, okay. So I don't know how he managed to do this, but let me put a disclaimer. This is not endorsed by Josh Jen or anything. So as we were going up the mountain, like, we ran out of fuel. Now we are running out of time as well. So apparently, if you're running up a mountain or you're going up a mountain, you run out of fuel. If you drive your car in reverse, you can still go up a mountain. I did not know that that can work. But so what he did, he turned around, drove in reverse up a mountain. It was awkward. I was sitting at the back, like just ashamed, like everyone looking, passing by, like, oh, okay. But we made it up the mountain, but it was so much effort. And then when we got to the mountain, downhill was easier. And then we got to the final hurdle, almost like Neville Hill now. And then you had to, again, turn in reverse, go up the hill in reverse. I don't know where he learned that. I don't want to know. But what sort of came to heart with this is we didn't have enough fuel. And it feels like in our Christianity, in our walk, if we are not filled by the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it. Like the same picture of us driving up a mountain without fuel, that's what happens when we try to want to serve in the house of the Lord, whatever that we do, our meetings, if we are not filled by the Holy Spirit, we will struggle. And I really feel this morning that the Lord just wants to remind us that we cannot do this by our own self. We cannot do this by our own efforts, but we must be totally reliant on the works of the Holy Spirit. So this is also a thing where I'm going to ask us to set aside what we feel like about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have had encounters where you're like, no, this is creepy. This is, I don't know what was your experience like. But can we put that aside this morning and look at what the scripture speaks about when it comes to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to read us, like Gordon has already mentioned this, in John 14. I can just put that up for us. Okay. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Here's the thing that grasps my heart about this, that Jesus is speaking to his disciples that I'm going to go away, but in me going away, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you with a helper, the one that brings truth, your advocate. I think in law terms, where is Christian? An advocate potentially is someone that contests a case on your behalf. Is it fine? Yes. Okay. So like, this is someone that contests your case on your behalf. But what I also see that is that he says that the world cannot accept him because they don't see him. But I also feel like us as Christians, sometimes we don't accept him because we are not certain of him. And for us to be able to function, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can we posture our hearts in saying that we don't want to be like the world where we deny his works, but we want to open up our hearts to what he wants to do. Again, in John 15, just going to go quickly through. This morning, the idea for me is not to try and describe the Holy Spirit to you guys, because that's going to take years and years. But I really trust that in this morning, we're going to establish something of who the Holy Spirit is and how he functions in our lives. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So here, Jesus again speaking to his disciples that when the counselor comes, the one that speaks about the truth will testify about me. And as I was praying, I'm like, there isn't a time when we can be able to go like experience Jesus, because we are not walking with him physically right now. The only person that can enable us to walk and know the heart of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So it's so plainly clear that we need to come into a place of realizing that if we want to know what's on Jesus' heart, we need the Holy Spirit. And he's saying that I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to give you the counselor, the one that brings truth. Every time when I'm convicted of something in my life, it's because of the Holy Spirit. For me to be able to even stand this morning, it's because of him. Out of my own self, I do not think I will be able to do it. So I want us to have that posture of like, we need to rely on the works of the Holy Spirit. So I'm gonna, just for us, come into the place of like, who is this advocate? Who is this Holy Spirit? I'm glad that Corten has already shared this. So one thing that we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is fully God. He is not, I think there's like misconception of like, some think like he might be like some mythical spirit. Some think like this is like some impersonal force. May the fourth be with you. Not that kind of force. This is fully God, and this spirit comes from the Father. If we read in Genesis 1, we can see that from creation, the Holy Spirit was there. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So already the Spirit of God, this is made mention from the word go, that the Spirit of God was hovering over this formless surface. So we need to have an understanding that this is God. And another place where we can truly see this, if we go to the book of Acts, chapter 5, we encounter a beautiful story, but maybe not so beautiful for Ananias and Sapphira. So 3 says that, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. So to give a background story for this, in the early church, Ananias and Sapphira were added to the church. And now came a time where they said, we are selling our every position. We want to give to the Lord. We want to bring everything to the apostles so that they can steward this after they've sold their land, the money. So now it became a thing of they conspired to say we don't want to give everything. We want to set something aside, but we're going to present it and make it look as if we have given everything. So as Ananias went before the apostle Peter, he was struck down and died instantly. So this made me realize that, because he's saying that you did not lie just against man, you lied against God. So it clearly shows us that the Holy Spirit is fully God. And often we can fall under the temptation of not setting everything in our hearts fully. Right now, I can stand here and be speaking to you, but maybe in my heart, something is not set. Only the Holy Spirit will know about that. Even for our lives, if we walk like you might make the best foot front forward and present yourself, but only the Holy Spirit knows what is happening in our hearts. So we need to just quickly understand that He is fully God. And then also, the Holy Spirit is a person. So this was so cool. A couple of weeks back, we had Gert, one of the guys in the house, so gifted in teaching. So he was running a training where we're just speaking about God's characters. And he made mention of this, that if we want to try and fully understand who God is, we won't be able. But the Holy Spirit enables us to come into that place of at least understanding a glimpse of it. So one of the things he said is that, which I found was quite profound, how can this God be like spirit? Sometimes we speak about Jesus. And he's like, think of, I don't know, some of you did science in school, but I think even before you major in anything, you should be able to do natural science. I think for everyone it's required. But in any case, I might be giving out my age. but if you think of water, it comes in 3 different states. At one stage, it can be liquid, it can be solid, and it can be in a gas state. So even when we think about this, I want you to have that picture in mind. We won't fully know how this works, but let's have an understanding that God is a triune God, meaning that is God in 3 different states, at stages. So yeah, let me not confuse you with that. But let's look at the scripture in Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray, for the Spirit himself intercede for us with groans that words cannot express. Here it shows that this is a person because of the expressions. If you think of a person, person has feelings, person has emotions that they go through. And for us, as we pray, the Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf, in understanding of each and every feeling and emotion. So he is a person, but doesn't have a physical body. I want us to just grasp that this is not you won't find the Holy Spirit playing touches. by the fields. But he is like a person. And you also get to see this clearly when you read Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. I think I might have just given you, if you can continue to 17 and 18. Okay. But what happens in this picture, so Jesus is getting baptized by John the Baptist. And as he was being baptized, John testifies that he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And in that moment, also heard the Father saying, "The Son in whom I delight." In this picture, you see three forms happening at the same time. Physically, they can see Jesus being there, and also the Holy Spirit being poured out to him, and God the Father saying that the Son in whom I delight in. So I just want us to get a picture of, like, this is how the Trinity of God is formed. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the clear pictures in the book or in the Bible where you can see the all forms working at the same time to show that also the Holy Spirit is its own person. Okay. And also, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And I think we are so much familiar with this, and this is where I want to go this morning. That the Holy Spirit dwells in us, this is not just meant for some people. It is meant for every one of us. If we read in the book of Acts 1:8, so this is after Jesus has been crucified, risen from the dead. He's speaking to his disciples that go and wait in Jerusalem. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So after this, Jesus has walked a road with his disciples and comes to a stage where he's like, I'm leaving, going to the Father. But in this, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you with a helper. And when he comes, you will receive power. And we'll get to see how does that look like when we receive power from the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not a thing where I want to like freak you out in any case. But I really want to express how we need to walk. We need to walk being filled with the Holy Spirit. How does he fill people? That's up to him and how he wants to do it. But is our heart's posture set at a place that we want to receive him? We are opening up to what he wants to do. So we see on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, verse 14 to 21, then Peter stood up, the 11 raised his voice, with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. So I really felt with this part, the Lord just like highlighting something. So the day of Pentecost, they've waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And then after the Holy Spirit came, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. It goes to say that like they saw what looks like tongues of fire that divided amongst them. And then after that, people were speaking in tongues, and like others could hear, like, well, it seems as if they're speaking in our own native languages. And then Peter has boldness. So one of the first things that comes when you receive power of the Holy Spirit, there will be boldness. So now he's expressing what is going on? He's like, well, these people are not drunk. So I want to paint this picture. Why would he feel the need to express that these people are not drunk? Most likely, it was chaotic in there. Everyone praying to God, everyone in awe of him, they were not holding to what they understood. And this was the first time this was happening. It was not like they had a frame of how this happened before. And I want to ask us, I think sometimes when we come before the Father, we have this certain posture that we want to uphold, where we want to walk in our own understanding. But when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit, we need to let go. Obviously, what it looks like, it seems as if like, yo, there were so many things, people are wondering, but Peter stood up and explained. And this is what you see. If someone brings a tongue in the service, like it must be interpreted. They still order to a certain level. But what I want to ask us this morning, can we posture our heart to say, I'm not going to try to hold on to what I think I should do. It could be fear of man that holds us back from fully expressing the Holy Spirit, because we have a form and a frame that we want to do things. But our God wants to do things however he wants to do it. Can we allow him to do whatever he wants to do? And another thing that struck my heart with when you receive the Holy Spirit, we know of a guy, Stephen, Acts 7:59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This man was a man full of the Holy Spirit. In a moment of affliction, in a moment of pain, I think that's one of also like the most gruesome ways to die, being stoned to death. But in that very moment, he goes on to say, Lord, do not hold this against them, for they do not know what they are doing. And if we quickly check the book of Luke 34, yeah? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So here's the heart. The Holy Spirit reveals the heart of Jesus. Stephen, being stoned, in his moment of distress, he's not looking at the momentary suffering that he's going through. He's saying, Lord, do not hold this against them. The very same words that Jesus cried out when he was being crucified. For us to be able to know what's in Jesus' heart, we need the Holy Spirit. When he was selected to be one of the deacons, it was like they were looking for men that were full of his spirit. And Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. How many times in our distress, where we lose form or we lose sight of God, and then we act in our own nature, where we come to a place of like, well, this situation needs me to react. I've also been so many times in those places. I'm not coming this morning from a place of like, I have this settled, but I'm coming from a place of like, I think the Lord is propelling us to be in a place where when we are full of the Holy Spirit, whatever comes our way, we'll be able to still testify of him. Because he points us to Jesus. He makes known the mysteries of Jesus. Can we be a people that are set on being filled by the Holy Spirit? And the reason why I'm emphasizing that we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit is that this is not a once-off event where you are filled once and then that's it. We get to see another picture in Acts 3. I'm just going to like reference a story. So Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and then there was a man that was lame for years. He was sitting at the beautiful gate begging for to believers as they go in. And then he was asking something of them. And after that, they came to this of like, well, we do not have silver and gold as you seek, we do not have. But what we give you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And he became healed and he walked. But what this did was that it started to unsettle the Jewish authorities. There was now commotion of like, what is happening? Because they do not understand what is happening because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They are set on their religious ways. And I want us to also look at ourselves in this, that are we not set on the religious ways of how church should look like, of how church should be like? But are we transformed by the Holy Spirit? So in the next chapter, in Acts 4, it goes to show when Peter were in front of the Jewish authorities, what they were speaking was so astonishing to them. They were like, we don't understand. Aren't these guys just like fishermen? Where do they get this wisdom? What is going on here? But it was because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were not relying on what they knew, because most probably what they knew was more about fishing. But in that moment, Jesus was revealing himself and what you need to say. So what was amazing for me, after they were released, I think let's just maybe read that. In Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Again, this was after Pentecost. In that meeting, when they prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I really want us to catch the picture that this was not a once-off setting. Maybe for some of us, we think like, well, yeah, once I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's a constant thing because we need to posture our hearts to receive him. We are unable to operate without the Holy Spirit. And one other thing, if you go to Acts 10, I just want to look at boxing the Holy Spirit, which we can often do. So there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So there's a man, he fears the Lord, he's devoted, but he's a Gentile. He's not part of the Jewish people. And in this very moment, the Lord lays a dream in his heart, asking Peter to come through. So Peter also received a dream where the Lord lays out all kinds of animals in the world that he can eat because he was hungry. And then he's like, well, I'm not going to eat this and that because by my custom, again, I'm not supposed to eat this. And I feel, again, the thing of where we are still holding on to traditions, where we are still holding on to customs, but we need to come into a place where we let go of the traditions that we feel we need to set, but trust the Lord to transform us. So what was amazing, if we read 44 to 48, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even onto the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Here's a beautiful picture that shows that the Holy Spirit is not just meant for some people, but it's meant for everyone. In a household that was foreign to what they felt was happening, the Lord poured himself. And also, the custom was that people need to be baptized, and then they get filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Lord did it in another way, where as Peter was still preaching, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized. I want us to untick all of those boxes that we have set in our minds of how the Holy Spirit should work. Let us not try to box God. Let us not try to box what the Holy Spirit does. I hope this morning you get the heart that we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit, but also with that, we need to allow him to operate however he wants to operate. I think most of the time, we are not seeing what the Lord is doing because we are set on how we want things to be done. I think you'll see for most of us, every Sunday morning, you might see people jumping up and down and like worshiping the Lord. I believe that's the works of the Holy Spirit. It's not because people just want to jump up and down, but it's because the Lord is doing something in their hearts. You might also see some of the elders, leaders, huddling up, and it might look as if, like, I don't know, like conspiring, you know, like talking to themselves, but the heart is, we want to follow where the Lord is going. We don't want to miss. We don't want to set. There's no format of like, when you come to Josh Jen, you're going to find this and this. Every Sunday morning, we are trusting that the Lord is going to reveal himself. We don't have a set plan of like, this is the structure and how it should flow. We want to be led by him. So as I learn this, I'm also aware of something that the Lord put in my heart of, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. If we look back to the story of Ananias and Sapphira, you can just put the verse back up, Acts 5:3-4. I think this often happens when sin creeps in our lives. This is one of the things that hinders us from being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we make sin our friend, yeah, this was like such an example to the church where they lied to the Holy Spirit, and on the spot, the Holy Spirit killed them. And I want us to be aware of there is something of that. Let us not mess with God. Let us have an awe of who he is, because he is a sovereign God. And it's by his Spirit that we can be able to function. So, and another man that fully just shows the example of like what, how to seek the Lord when you're falling into sin, David. Let's look at Psalm 51, verse 11. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. This is after David has sinned and he's yearning and crying before the Lord that I don't want to be separated. I don't want to be without you, Lord. Do we have that yearning in our hearts when we have fallen short of his glory, when we have missed the mark? Where we come to a place where we say that, Lord, I don't want to be away from your presence. I want to be close to where you are. Can we this morning have a posture like David of saying that I want to be in your presence? For us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and every time when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, also came repentance with that. There was a posture of like, yo, I realized my shortcomings. Many of the things that I do, and sometimes I'm not aware that if this is right, but the Holy Spirit as the counselor comes and gives correction, comes and gives guidance that what you're doing does not represent my son well. It does not go hand in hand with what he stands for. In all of this, I'm really trusting that we will open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We'll come to a place where we realize that we cannot function as a congregation. We cannot function as believers without the Holy Spirit. In the early church, they were able to transform the cities upside down because of the Holy Spirit that was living in them. None of the miracles that were performed was because of their wisdom or ideas that they had. They didn't have any frame of reference, but they were totally relying on the Holy Spirit. As I learn this, let me ask this question, maybe for some of us, if we can just like close our eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I hear you speaking about the Holy Spirit, but I do not know how to receive him. In this very moment, as you look in your heart and you know that the Lord is knocking, there is a way in which you can be familiar with the Holy Spirit, the way you can get to know him, where you can receive him, is if you open your heart to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you feel and you know that I don't know him, I want to have a relationship with him, can you open your heart to what he wants to do? Can you acknowledge that Jesus is Lord? You might have heard of this man Jesus, but knowing about him, it's one thing, but giving your life, coming to a place where you say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Savior of my life. As our eyes are closed, if he's knocking in your heart, can you maybe, in this moment, just raise your hand and say, I want to accept him. I want to come into the place of knowing him.